Blog Talk Radio.
Hope everyone had a great week, and I hope you have a better weekend to follow, as always. And yes, Rex is MIA tonight. I'm going to dock his pet. Terrible. And hello, Pam. Thanks for being here.
Hello.
Otherwise, I'm sitting here going,
yeah,
oh, my
goodness.
Yeah.
Happy to be here, and hopefully Rex is feeling okay, and, you know,
yeah,
if not, then just
so
getting some much-needed rest. Yeah. So, but good to be here. How are you doing?
Oh, well, I don't know. I got a half a thing going on, and I'm not sure what it is. You know, cough, cough, hack, hack. You know, sneeze, sneeze. But, like, I don't know. Last night I had temperature 100.9, which is not high. But it was enough of a fever that I felt it, you know. So, whatever. I guess I'll survive. If not, well, see you next
yep.
year. Somewhere, you know. I'll be floating around, haunting everybody that I have trouble with. You know, there's no rest for the weary.
There you go.
You know, so, so what a crazy
yep.
day. Yeah, so we have a nice board of poetry. I think we have like 20 pieces on the board. They look wonderful.
Nice.
You know, great poets. And, you know, it's always nice work from a lot of these people. So I like it. I like it. I would say all. you know, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're really, they're great about putting stuff on the board. So, you know, I always like that. Oh, my goodness. So, yes, I am, like, tired. I am tired. I think that's part of the whole problem because, you know, I've been tired for, like, 3 days. It's usually a surefire sign that I'm trying to get something or trying to avoid it. But my son was sick as a dog for 3 days.
So, oh, my goodness.
And we all live under the same roof, so, you know, God forbid. And I did teach him to share when he was young. I did. What I was ever thinking, I don't know. I didn't put any stipulations on him. I said, you need to share. I didn't say except for, you know, so.
Yeah, except for cold. And, of course, that's the first thing they always like to share.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I have to laugh at that for real. So, yeah. Hi, Aaron Panther. Hello. How are you tonight? I didn't see you until just now. I don't know what the hell this thing is doing. He's hiding. Aaron Panther is tucked in there. And I didn't see him. There he is. Yes, yes, yes. So,
Great poets hanging out on the board on L&P, Robbie,
always.
Quicken, and Aaron. Good to see them all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great crowd. They're great supporters, and, you know, they're funny as hell in the room, I have to say. I was watching them, you know, go back and forth between the poetry and just being the people that they are. It's so much fun some nights. So I have to say
absolutely.
So, yeah. Yeah, caring is sharing until you're sick, and it stay the heck away from me. Absolutely, Aaron Panther, absolutely. But the thing is, you know, you kind of have to make somebody something to eat. Do you want something? Can I get you something? So you kind of put yourself out there and go, yeah, okay. You know, you put up the cross and don't breathe while I'm here, you know, that kind of thing. But we never know, you know. Oh, who knows, but he tried real hard to stay isolated in his room. I think then he got a little buggy and he had to get out into the living room, so.
It is definitely easier when they get to be either older teenagers or adults, like our children are, you know.
Right.
Definitely, as when they're toddlers is when it's the worst, because they just want to cling to you with, like, snot, like, dripping down.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dark and Doris, nice to see you. Absolutely. When they're young like that, they just want to feel comforted. It's like, okay. And you don't mind, you know, because they're little and you love them. And then the next thing you know, you've got it. And then I remember one time after my husband had died, it was me and the two kids, and I was sick as a dog. And I mean sick as a dog. I couldn't get myself out of that bed for anything, you know. And I kept saying to him, come on, sit up here with me, trying to get him to stay on the bed with me, you know, because they're relatively young, you know. And I said to my daughter, can you get me a paper towel? But she was 2 years older than my son. And I guess maybe she was a bad eight, you know. And Mom, do you want to drink the water? Okay.
Aww.
You know, so they tried to be so darn cute, and I'm going, oh, God, I just want to lay here and crash. And I couldn't because you had the two babies. And I was like, oh, my God, how do people do this? How do they do this? You know? But they're great, you know. I mean, when they're cute, it's easy. You know, when they're bigger, it's kind of like, yeah, you know, he's stubborn. He doesn't want to eat, and he doesn't want to do this. And, you know, okay, whatever, you know. His girlfriend was cute. She made him chicken soup. I said, girl after my own heart. She actually made him chicken soup. And he ate it. God bless him. He ate it. If I made chicken soup, he'd go, oh, that shit. Not her. No. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love a good soup.
Yes. Me too. I was thinking, well, if he didn't eat it and I was sick, I was going to go out there and, you know, work my way through it. I'm always at, and I think that's helped me to be less sick, really, exposed to everything, so I think I develop so much immunity. Yeah, and, you know, the fresh air really is good, I think, because, you know, you get that fresh air, and it's not all concentrated. You know, you're in the house, I mean, you want to open up all the doors and windows and say, don't breathe.
you know. But when you get the air coming through the house, it helps, you know, really does. So when you're mobile and you're running around and everything, I think it's just better for the body. You know, that's my opinion, but we all know about opinions,
oh,
right?
Everybody absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Opinions are like noses. Everybody has one and they all smell. That's mine right there. I cleaned that up too, guys, just in case you wanted to know. I'm going to be good now.
Yep.
Well, what do you think, fam? Should we get this party started?
Let's go for it.
Okay, maybe one of these fellas will call in tonight and surprise us.
Oh, that sure would be nice if we had at least one guy or
yeah.
gal or, you know, whoever,
yeah.
anybody
yeah.
who wants to call in. Yeah, that would be great. I
yeah,
mean, unless they're that keen on just listening to me and you, like, read and yammer on.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that, but, you know, I suppose it could happen.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, let's see what we have. Well, do you want to be our first male voice for the night? Yeah, I think
sure.
so. Okay, well, this one is called Peanuts and Groggy Head by Dave Burkett. A new name to me. I believe this was from a contest. So let me put that up, and whenever you're ready, Pam.
All right.
Good deal.
Peanuts and Groggy Head by Dave Burkett. Evening sun burns its fading embers. Shadows flick and creep across the floor. A spent cigarette wears lipstick stains. Cocked wrist says she's seen it all before. Eyes shimmering blue diamonds and halos. Curled hair caresses contours of her face. Her natural flair sees the graceful moon. Gaze caught whispers of a different place. I sighed for sat alone in her silken wear, elegance dripping like tears from the grid, and occasionally fondling her empty glass or pendant that nestled in her cleavage. Cherry blossom lips mouthed words in silence. Moon eased the horizon as the sun departs. I wonder if the candlelight will be enough to melt the ice wrapped around her heart. Placing a fresh white wine in front of her, I smile, said nothing to tell her share. It's pinot, rio, or peanuts and groggy head, her smile echoing out from each despair. Tongue stroking her teeth while still apart, tossed leaves pass over multiple cigarettes. We left the bar walking like lovers we fitted, so all that was left was our silhouette and home.
Nice read, Pam. Nice read. What a neat piece this was, and it was written for the Artist Seduction. I was pretty sure it was, but I read the title, and I'm like, well, maybe I'm wrong. But what a, first off, what an interesting title and an interesting story told. I spied her sat alone in her silken wear, elegance dripping like tears from a bridge, and occasionally fondling her empty glass or pendant nestled in her cleavage. Cherry blossom lips, mouth words in silence. Moon eased the horizon as the sun departs. I wonder if the candlelight will be enough to melt the ice wrapped around her heart. I thought that was a great stanza in this. And trust me, the first and the last one were good too, but I think that was really like the meat and potatoes of the image, because I'm sure it was the candle in the heart, the black heart with the candle in it. But really nicely written and well done. And a nice take on the Artist Seduction, actually. I have to say that. It wasn't, you know, over the top, and it wasn't underdone. It was just really a nice blend. So nice work, Dave, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Great piece. Well done. Okay, Pam, would you like to comment next? I mean, we only have so many options.
Right, right. Well, yeah, absolutely. I do have to agree with you that second stanza is the meat and potatoes, but it is wonderful all the way through. And I also really like placing a fresh white wine in front of her. I smile, did nothing to tell her to stare. And I like those lines there, and then the her smiling echoing out in deep stare, tongue stroking her teeth while still apart. I like how there was that communication that happened without words, that sense of understanding between two lonely people, and melting the ice without the need for like a corny pickup line or, you know, a bunch of empty talk, you know, but rather just that connection where two people acknowledge that, you know, they're lonely, and even if it's just for the night, they need each other. So, wonderful write and very well done.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. I like the imagery in it, too. I have to say that. It was, it was a good piece. And, okay, that was our first male voice for the night. Hint, 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 fellas, hint, hint. Just saying.
Yeah, we could definitely use a male voice for tonight. That is for sure.
Absolutely. Let's see what this one is. I didn't think so. Okay, I don't have an audio for this one, so I'm going to go ahead and give this a read. And this piece is called There's an App for That by Diane D. Nice comment, Aaron. He says he sees in this piece how some unexpected connections become lasting relationships. Very true. Very, very true. Okay, here we go. And There's an App for That by Diane D. Let me make sure that my eyeballs can hear. Hopped off a driverless bus in 2028. Facial scanning software opens the gate. My smart apartment is 600 square feet. My Wi-Fi app pays the power and heat. Says a metallic voice, "The room's empty, sir." The door opens with a copper-grated whir. Temperature detector starts to beep, adjusting the room temp for my body heat. Laundry is paid with a loaded smart card, while camera devices stands guard. Water app blinks the random code. Three reds mean switch overload. The hand sanitizer says wash your hands. Speakers are playing my favorite bands. Floor-to-ceiling curtains roll down slowly. QR code lamp uses an app called Glowly. My smart TV starts for a hockey game. My orange and blue floor light comes aflame. On the wall is a holographic world map with a 30-language voiceover app. The Murphy bed rolls up from the floor with a remote that I can keep in a drawer. I hold the handheld sleep aid device, and I sleep like I got to sleep twice. I give an app called Aid my information, and my fingerprint measures my medication. I work from home with an app called Zoom. It brings everyone else into my living room. "There's just one issue," said my girlfriend Ray. "In my smart apartment, you don't say." "Yes," she frowned. "Who will feed the cat?" I smiled and said, "There's an app for that." And boom. True friend.
Those are definitely some clever lines. As always, Diane has such a wonderful rhyming poem and a great sense of humor. And I like how she brings us into that thought that, yep, nowadays there seems to be an app for practically everything. I like the twist at the end and the reminder of, hey, you know what, you still have to see the cat, but wait, there's an app for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was great. I also really like my smart TV starts for a hockey game. My orange and blue floor lights come aflame. On the wall is a holographic world map with a 30-language voiceover app. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Yes, yes. I thought this piece was clever. And clever in the sense it was, she thought it through. And it really, there's so many things that they do have apps for. But some of this wouldn't surprise me, you know. I mean, fingerprint measures my medication, you know, and all that good stuff. So, I mean, that's, I guess there's a possibility that does exist in some shape or form. you know, but I like how she incorporated all into this. And really, there's just so much truth. It's scary, isn't it? You know, you stop and think, yeah, I think things are really happening like that somewhere in this world. But definitely a great piece by Diane. She has a very clever way of writing. She kind of, I don't know, her work always strikes me to have a touch of truth in it, if that makes any sense. Even when she wrote that, the one piece I always remember is the one about kindness. When she wrote that, the way she did that was basically the same. She took all these little bits of truth and put them into the piece. And I kind of like that. I think that it's she's blessed like that to be able to come up with all of this. So, and yep, but it's clever and well written. And yes,
great, yeah, it's share. Like having wisdom with like humor combined makes it just I don't
exactly.
know. It just works so nicely.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're reading it, and it's kind of like, well, you know, maybe it's a little bit far, but it's not too far. It's not too far out of the way, which is kind of scary. You know, the driverless bus, not quite yet, but, you know, they keep trying to do these things. I can't imagine. I'm kind of glad I'm not driving these days. Keeps me safe from that kind of craziness.
Right.
Know. We have enough trouble with the people driving this shit. That's just the items. See, I'm getting bad, man. Being bad. But yeah, you know, really, people are messed up enough. I don't think I have a whole lot of faith in a car driving myself blind. Let's see what the guy said. Anything? Something? I'm a man. Oh, excuse me. Pardon me. I know I have a way of saying this, so if that was for me, I apologize. I'll tell you. Okay, catch it. Okay, quick and last thing he did was threw his face out of the window and caught his blouse on fire. I don't know. He makes me nervous. I don't know.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's see. The next one I have, we have an audio for this one. That's not too bad, huh? One male voice down.
Nice.
Yeah, this is by Scott Sharp. And it's La Aeropuerto de Barcelona. And I hope I didn't mangle that too badly. But there it is, and I'm going to put the audio on. And here we go.
La Aeropuerto de Barcelona. In La Aeropuerto de Barcelona, the sun takes off, reflecting off of the terrazzo stone floor, rising above the air traffic control tower just outside the glass wall of windows, where people ponder the flight of bumblebees or the ride of the Valkyries. Shadows taxi down the runway to the sound of opera. Jet engines roar, crescendo of sound, chorus of sky and earth, the sun somewhere in the middle like violins lifting off, horns soaring on eagle's wings, Icarus rising and falling again and again.
Great piece by Scott Sharp. And Pam, I'm gonna get you to do that because I was totally distracted.
Sure, no problem.
So,
yeah, that was, as always, a great read by Scott. And I love the way that he paints a picture with his words. Like, he really brings us into the moment, into the scenery. And I like how this speaks on the movement and sound that one hears, you know, the bumblebees and the sound of the opera, the jet engines roar, crescendos of sound, chorus of sky and earth, And it really makes me think about how oftentimes mankind, technology, and nature end up having to coexist, and you know how it can be difficult to notice the little parts of nature, like the bees and the flowers, when overwhelmed by the sights of sound of an airport. So really great lines all the way through, and very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree with you. I love this. The sun takes off, reflecting on the terrazzo stone floor, rising above the air traffic control tower, just outside the glass wall of windows, where people pondered the flight of bumblebees or the ride of the Valkyries. Now, I don't know much about the ride of the Valkyries, but the flight of the bumblebee, I know, is a musical piece. So I don't know if there's some reference there that I'm not getting. But down the
road, the Rise of the Valkyries is also a musical piece.
Okay. See, that's what I kind of thought, maybe.
Yes.
See that? I'm getting educated. Thank you, Scott. I'm getting educated. Thank you, Pam. I need all the help I can get. But, you know, down the runway to the sound of opera, jet engines roar, crescendo of sound. I loved his musical reference throughout this whole piece. And I think that it really adds something special to it. That the imagery was good, because you can't help but kind of ride that wave, you know, with his thoughts. You know, the glass wall of windows and, you know, the engine roar. I mean, I've only been on a plane, well, maybe a handful of times. But you can kind of, but the musical references I thought were really cool. So, yeah, horns soaring on eagle's wings and Icarus rising and falling again and again. Very, very well done, Scott, and thanks for sharing this with us. Very enjoyable piece. Very much enjoyed it. I guess I repeated myself there, huh? I'm a little blah, blah. Yes. So let me... Yes, I'm getting there. I promise. I promise.
All right.
Sing a song. Do 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 do. Okay. I'm just trying to type this in, because otherwise I know me getting back to something is impossible. Okay.
I get it.
What did the fellas say? The fellas, what did they say?
Aaron says, I saw a metaphor of the busyness of the airport and the reference to bees as a collective of thoughts that make it hard for a mind to maintain focus.
Nice, nice. And then Robbie
very
says,
cool.
I have a picture of his brilliant green, or that's his dad. I'm like, where am I at? And he says, yes, classical music. I make sure I get the right conversation going. Yeah, Sapphire, it's never easy. It's never easy. But as I said, the words will come. Wise guy. Don't forget to word it as a question, too. Just saying. I could be in trouble for that. Let me see now. Okay, Pam, will you get the next deep voice? And this is called Lost Pages by the Duke of St. Paul, Dex Bailey. Sorry. So whenever you're ready, my friend, whenever you're ready.
All right. A keg of tears, drunk on stimulus, my shame stands upright and requires a two-wheel dolly. My reactions come from deep snow-covered pastures, isolated at my spirit's old farmhouse. The place you see in dreams you've never been, but know you live there, snacking from familiarity's candy dish, chasing an oasis and home.
Wow. It's a nice piece by Dex. You know, there's so much going on in here to me, you know. And the title Lost Pages makes me really ponder over what he says. He doesn't remember writing it, but he found it in his drafts. There you go. Go Dex. A keg of tears, drunk on stimulus. My shame stands upright and requires a two-wheel dolly. You know, that's definitely the words of regret in what I see there. My reaction comes from deep snow-covered pastures isolated in my spirit's old farmhouse. The place you see in dreams you've never been, but know you live there, snacking from familiarity's candy dish, chasing an oasis. You know, I love the lines of this. The way he ended it kind of leaves you hanging there, you know, on that thought. You know, familiarity's candy dish. Definitely, definitely a great piece. Wow, sorry. Dex, I think you did a fine job with this piece. It's a shame it was in your drafts. I'm glad you brought it out for us to read. I like it. I like the wording of it. I think that it's really just a well-written piece. Clever thoughts and imagery throughout. And, yeah, definitely good stuff. So thanks for sharing that with us. Miss you. We could use your voice, you know. Just saying, Dex. Just saying.
Absolutely, yeah. It would be great to hear from Dexter.
Yes, I like when he comes in. Adds another element to us.
Absolutely. Oh, this is definitely brilliant with its imagery and metaphors and the emotional impact with the sense of despair and sadness felt. The first stanza speaking on the idea of not being able to stand on your own two feet. And then the next two stanzas speaking on the thought of those dreams chased after that truly stay just out of reach. And I really liked snacking familiarity's candy dish, chasing an oasis. That idea of the candy dish that you would find at grandma's house, that sweetness of life that one wants, not just to survive, but to truly taste all the sweetness that life has to offer, but knowing the unfortunate reality that some dreams, they just don't happen. They stay out of reach, so... Wonderful lines and very well done.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. It's really great. Yeah, it's a good piece all the way around. So I'm glad he found that because it meant we got to read it. So very good. Very good, very good, very good. Let's see what I have here. Okay, well, the next piece we have... you guys are quiet tonight. He'll be back. It's early yet. But this piece is by Jessica C. Wheeler and it's called Beneath the Tranquil Sheen. So let me go ahead and read this one. Beneath the Tranquil Sheen by Jessica C. Wheeler. A well-known trail sits just behind the hill my home is on. And down the bottom path you'll find a tranquil, shallow pond. And there upon her rightful throne, a swan swims soft and slow. In peace she spends her days alone, the swan I've come to know. A slender neck and feathered wings, its hair is pure and white. With eyes of beads, their sharpness brings her sight to day or night. I watch her graceful, gentle glide with burdens not revealed. Her regal ruse still seems to hide a loneliness concealed. What's covered up by beauty's gift? Has calmness killed her fight? Do troubles drown beneath her drift? Will she again take flight? A natural need to mate for life. I fear her mate's passed on. She drifts along this pond in strife, a lovely, lonely swan. But take no pity on this queen. Her strength she cannot mask. Beneath the water's tranquil sheen, she's surging with the task. The stillness in her wandering, as ripples rise, I wonder. Her praise provokes and pondering of fervent efforts under. Some things aren't quite as they appear. Some surfaces hide battles. To simply sit on ponds, they bear the need for frantic paddles. When fighting just to stay above, imagine an existence where we had just a fraction of a swan's grace and persistence. Ooh, neat piece and poem. I like this one. What do you think, Pam?
Oh, this was absolutely beautiful. First of all, I just think swans are beautiful creatures. You know, so elegant looking. You know, and we don't get to see them around a lot here. I think I've only seen one in this area like a couple times. But we do, when I walk by the river, you know, I get to see a lot of other animals, during, especially, you know, seasons that aren't winter.
Right.
But, yeah, and I enjoy doing that. And I like how she writes about, you know, seeing the swan, observing it, painting this picture of the swan, but using it also as a metaphor for that extended metaphor for what it's like to have to stand alone, to use your own strength, and how sometimes you can observe somebody and not realize what they're going through beneath the surface, because on the surface everything looks calm and tranquil, and beneath they're desperately paddling, you know,
trying
to stay afloat. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I thought that made for a great metaphor, and some great lines all the way through, but I especially like, but take no pity on this queen, her strength she cannot mask, beneath the water's tranquil sheen, she's surging with a task. Wonderful lines, very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100% all the way through. I thought it was beautifully written. Wonderful thoughts were expressed throughout, you know, giving us that message, as you said, you know, no matter how calm things look on the surface, you don't know how hard somebody's struggling to stay there, you know, and I think it was just really well done. I picked up the 5 last stanzas of it, because I had to pick it up, a natural need to mate for life. I fear her mate's passed on. She drifts along this pond in strife, a lovely, lonely swan. And everything from there down kind of just really speaks to what she was trying to say. And I think she did a fabulous, fabulous job with this. Just an excellent share. So thank you, as always, Jessica, for sharing with us. I really enjoyed this piece. You would think I would finish my little sentence before I start talking. And yes, so thank you for sharing. Silly me. Anyway, wonderful. See, there's great poetry on the board tonight. All kinds of it, like in all different matters and everything. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Hermit Panther says, you know, I started with Robbie, he's the first one, but the metaphor at the end wraps it up so perfectly, graceful, but reflects a personal power. And then Aaron Panther, great sign off to that piece. Enjoy the peacefulness you can find in life, but don't lose your determination to follow your purpose. Nice. Nice words, guys. Nice words. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, Pam. You up for another one?
Absolutely.
All right, this one's called Pain's Drain on My Brain by Darkened Auras.
Lifeless, long, lonesome nights linger on and on, lasting longer I lay listless, lost in loathsome memories of laughter, lighter times, a crime of lies, drag drifting down, drowning in damaged dreams of darkness, dire depths driving deep into my mind, drying depths, tears that made me blind. Tell me through trials and tribulations, do we truly find the truth we seek? Severed ties that bind, tricks to make us think we're weak. Timeless treasures taken, twisting our thoughts to the brain. Sinister shadows stalk the shallow seabed of my peripheral brain, and scary, silent, savage skeletons drive my mind insane. But deep down in my heart and soul, I know it's but a distant dive into my psyche, like temporarily drained and cold.
Mm. What a nice piece by Christina. I shouldn't say nice. You know, I'm never sure about that right word sometimes. But pains drain on my brain. It was well written. That's what I'll say. Lifeless, long, lonesome nights linger on and on, lasting longer. I lay listless, lost in loathsome memories of laughter. Later times, a crime of lies. Definitely a great use of alliteration throughout the piece. And she didn't miss a beat on what she wanted to say. That's for sure. Let me see. I'm looking. Like you get the sinister. Shadows stalk the shallow seabed of my cerebral brain. And scary, silent, savage skeletons drive my mind insane. But deep down in my heart and soul, I know it's but a distant dive into my psyche, a temporary drain. You know, at least she leaves it with the temporary. I like the temporary aspect because that means there's hope in it. Just nicely done, nicely written, well expressed, and an enjoyable piece. So thank you, Christina, for sharing with us. Wonderful job.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I thought this had powerful lines, great use of alliteration, wonderful rhyme and flow. I like how it speaks to me on wondering if the darkest moments of our lives truly serve some grander purpose or if it's all just within the realm of madness. And great lines all the way through, but I do especially like, tell me through trials and tribulations, do we truly find the truth we seek, sever ties that bind, tricks to make us think we're weak, timeless treasures taking, twisting our thoughts to the brink. And it's interesting how out of everything and everyone in the world, it oftentimes seems like it is our own minds, our own doubts that play the biggest tricks on us. So amazing dark right and very well done.
Absolutely. So nice work. Okay. Hit that button. Get out of there. Okay. And let's see now. The next piece I'm going to put up is called Denial, Such a Painful Waste of Breath, by Errant Panther, and I have an audio for this one. Let me put the piece up, and let me hit the button.
Denial, Such a Painful Waste of Breath, by Errant Panther. Ears pressed deep against the walls of night, yet nothing commits itself as intelligibly as fate. I leave it there, resting within weightless hours, until these conflicting sensations fall like dust through the hands of memory. Denial, such a painful waste of breath. Beneath a sky so misted, everything seems destined to be veiled in obscurity. Somewhere in the distance, the eternal clock ticks on, demanding so much from the forever nameless, as a petulant few dare to ignore it. Cardinals trill above the silence of an errant wind, and yet, here I am, following the burnt edges of a silhouette into the clouded void we call hope. End poem.
Are you
excellent
on mute?
I was.
Yeah.
always, you know, especially if there's an audio involved. Great piece, Errant Panther. I really enjoyed this very much. But I'm going to let Pam go first because she's better at it than I am.
Well, I don't know about that. Okay. if Rex was here, we'd just throw him under the bus. Oh, if he was here, he'd be reading comments, darn it.
That's right.
So either way, one of us would go first. But, yeah, no, this is, as always, I think Aaron's has some of the most beautiful and brilliant imagery and metaphors. And I like how the main message that I get from this poem is that it speaks on the blind journey taken on the path of denial, how oftentimes we don't want to see the reality of life. We don't want to see the truth. We'd rather be in denial. We'd rather have that blind ignorance or arrogance or whatever. Yeah, ignorance is what I'm thinking of. You know, and hold on to that sense of hope. And yeah, hope can be a beautiful thing, but can also be something that blinds us to the reality that we need to see. And I really like those end lines, but I also like where it says, somewhere in the distance the eternal clock ticks on, demanding so much from the forever nameless as a petulant few dare to ignore it. Wonderful lines on the idea of, you know, just to me anyways, of, you know, when we ignore what's meant to be, when we stay in denial, eventually the consequences come. So excellent writing and very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's just, his work is always so wonderful. There's a certain, I don't know, there's a certain power that runs through his work. It's not, you know, I'm not trying to be like, it just, there is. The way he states things, it's very, you know, matter of fact. He does it gracefully. That's why he's a poet. But it definitely tells a good tale. Denial, such a painful waste of breath, beneath a sky so misted. Everything seems destined to be veiled in obscurity. Somewhere in the distance, the eternal clock ticks on, demanding so much from the forever nameless, as a petulant few dare to ignore it. You know, and then it goes into cardinal's trill above the silence of an errant wind, and yet, here I am following the burnt edges of a silhouette into the clouded void we call hope. It just is wonderfully written, and, you know, kind of sums it up really well. I mean, spending time denying something, denial is such a part of all the process. He had loss, coming to terms with things. There's so many parts to every process when we're getting through something. And denial always seems to hop in there at one point or another, beginning or end of it. And, you know, working through it is not easy, but, you know, we do. But I love the way he ended again with this note of hope, you know, and I think that's what makes the piece outstanding is because of that. You know, we all need to have a bit of hope in our lives. Let me see now. What was this? Inspired by the poem True by Laurie Hamilton. Wow. Yeah, grief. Denial is part of grief. Absolutely. Great great job, Erin. I really enjoyed this piece, and I think you did a phenomenal job with it. And, yes, very well done. I don't know. I should just say my words first and then type while you're talking. Maybe I'll have to do that. But I do. I think this was outstanding. You know, I don't know. Denial is, that's just not easy. I know, because I've been there once or twice. But yeah. So, Pam, I'm going to get you to read this next piece. It's only a short one. And let me open up another tab. And I'm going to be slow. Yes. Here we go. So whenever you're ready, it's called Rose Dilemma by Olivier.
I bought a rose, and so I suppose I should choose to pass it on to another, either my wife or my mother, or her mother. Oh, brother, perhaps I should have bought three. Always buy three. In fact, buy six. Right?
That's right. Have a couple extra. Always have an extra because you never know what might turn up. It's always the way. Yes. Oh, my God. Yes, yes, yes. Well, now I have to go over there. Oh, my gosh. I really am not all... Oh, God, wrong button, Gene. What are you doing? Ah! Need my head examined, I swear to God. I'm clicking on the link because I thought it was the last poem link. Okay.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
And you got brought to your own show so you could listen to me and you.
I know, that's what I did. I opened it up and I'm like, this is not where I want to be. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, this is a cute piece. I like that about Olivier's pieces because they are lighthearted and they're fun and they can just be, they're just cute. I mean, they're that way. And, you know, you don't get into all kinds of deep, meaningful, like, I shouldn't say that, meaningful stuff. And I'm sure there's a touch of something in here, this little truth. Because that's how we all get our inspirations sometimes. But definitely a nice little write and enjoyable. Yes. I don't know. I think it's good. But well done. And yes. It was a great job. Good cheer. Okay. I'm done. Yammering. And Pam, do you want to comment?
Absolutely. Great comment there, Gene. And
yes.
And Aaron thinks perhaps that you have not had enough coffee tonight.
I have
not. So I think he's recommending
not.
That you drink some.
Oh, my God. Maybe I'll go make a pot. Will you miss me? I think you'll miss me if I run out to make a pot.
I would miss you, yeah. So
yeah. You'd be talking to
but
yourself.
But I liked it. I think we'll hold off on the coffee. But this is a wonderful brevity, great rhyme. You know, I love the humor in this. It does crack me up. And I did actually say in my written comment, always buy three, maybe even six. It was clever. It was entertaining. And I like the humor of a man who finds himself in a dilemma of having to choose between his wife, his mother, his mother-in-law. You know, so excellent question, very well done.
Absolutely. All right, you know, I'll take donations if you want to make me a cup of coffee and send it. That's fine. FedEx, UPS, US, you know. And, yes. Okay, well, I finished that comment, so now I'm happy. Okay.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And Robin says that the poem is like how I found a random bouquet of flowers on International Bouquet Day one time. I ended up gifting them to a financial worker I had at the time. She was fantastic. Well, that's wonderful. You know,
yeah.
To be able to find something in a bouquet on International Bouquet Day and to be able to offer it up as a gift to someone. That is very cool.
It's awesome stuff. It's awesome sauce. Woohoo! Coffee by Ivy. Yes. Me and Puddles, we got that going on. Oh, look at this. They're all picking on me again, Pam. What is that? They're always picking on me. Guess I deserve it.
They all like you.
No, I don't think so. They tolerate me. Oh, my God. I like them, though. They're good sports. They really are.
Oh, they really are. They're great guys.
They are. They're fun. I appreciate the laughs when they pick on me, so I'm not complaining, trust me. Now, this next poem I'm going to put up is, we heard this last week, and this is by Budo, and it's called Beat Up, Bruised, and Battered. But he has extended the song some, so he submitted it, the longer version. So I'm going to play it with a smile on my face. So here we go. And now I have to find it. Oh, there it is. Wow. Thank you. Commented on the original, and I copied the whole first section. I said, this is really good. So this time I said, this is really excellent, you know, and then I copied the whole second section. So it's like, okay, you know, but I loved it. I loved the way he changed up the second. Oh, wait, we have someone raising their hand. I wonder who that is. Could this be Robbie?
it's like a thing, you know? Hey, he's the only guy who raises his hand.
Honest to God, it's like a dead giveaway who it is. It's great. I love it.
Well, I like to do that because of that now. It's, now you know. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
now
right.
I know. It's Robbie.
That's right.
I was thinking, like, would it be so funny if, like, I use code. I don't know how to code very well, but I'm starting to learn. And if I coded and it gave a middle finger, and then they'd be like, why is this 807 giving us the middle finger?
Why is he doing that? Yeah, that would be me. I'd be like, what's he doing? I don't think I'm going to answer him is what I would say. I don't think I like his attitude.
Yeah, I think that would be what would happen. It's like,
yeah, probably.
Let's see.
Are you trying to learn HTML?
I'm mostly focusing on Python for like the more scientifically side of stuff.
I don't know.
And then
CSS. We're definitely
for well, CSS I'm more to learn too, and that's kind of part of HTML. So that's like the style part of it.
And the only reason I'm saying is because I have a great site for HTML. That I would send you, and it's really a tutorial, the whole thing, and it shows you how to do something, and then it tells you how to go ahead and do it yourself, and it lets you try it out. So if you're interested, I'll send it to you later on.
Go ahead, send away, because I want to learn how to do the web pages.
Absolutely. I wander through every now and then. I go, wait, I have to find this, and I go and look for it. You know, a little crazy, but nothing unusual there. But what I was going to say about Budo's piece is I really liked the extended version. I really did. I thought it was great. And I loved what he had to say in the whole piece. You know, and the whole second part is someone told me a long time ago, you can't make water out of wine. So you take those small steps to build a better life, and you make it through. Just believe in you. Please don't give up. Just believe in you. I think he really had a great message in this piece. I think we all feel a little battered, beat up, and bruised sometimes. You know, certain things in life just throw it at you or hit you over the head with a baseball bat sometimes. It all depends. And, you know, it's always good to keep in perspective. You know, you just keep on going. Don't give up. There's hope, you know, there really is. So that's what I want to say about Budo's piece. And Pam, you want to go next?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was great to hear the extended version of this song. I actually forgot I had already commented on it last week, and so I again commented on it. But, you know, both times I did notice the main theme, you know, that the idea of finding strength and courage and moving forward during difficult times. Of course, that's always wonderful lyrical quality. Budo has such a talent for music and lyrics and wonderful lines all the way through, but I especially like, someone told me a long time ago, you can't make water out of wine, so you take those small steps to build a better life and you'll make it through. You know, just amazing lines on the thought that, you know, oftentimes when we do move forward, you know, and we're getting through a difficult time, it isn't with those big grand steps, it's those small steps that make the difference in the journey. So very well done.
Absolutely. And Robbie, did you get to hear the piece, or were you busy?
I got to hear it.
Okay, good.
I felt stylistically it has a bit of a, like, the lyrics were a bit maybe on the, like, the folk side, but the music, the actual musicality of it, like the instrumentation of it, was more like rock, or like softer rock. And so I thought that was an interesting mix of elements. And just in terms of the contents of the poem itself, it's something I relate to these days, because it's funny, because everything is good on the level of all my hobbies and going out a little bit more than that, but I keep getting assailed by external elements that I can't control. We all do to some degree, you know, in our lives at some point or another. But I just keep finding that as soon as I'm settled in, some big thing comes in and messes things up, and it gets to be, and still going through that, it gets to be More than virtual, man. When it's something external, you kind of just have to grit your teeth because there's only so much you can do. There's something you can do maybe to try, but to help yourself. But the more external something is, the more of a struggle it is to just, because there's not really much you can do about it, right? So in terms of his message in the song, I really related to it because of that.
Right. Yeah, it was a great piece. I still, in my back of my head, I keep going, it has an element in my brain of the Rolling Stones. There's a couple of songs, like when you hear things, when Budo sings, I've related him to so many different artists throughout the period of time that we've been doing the shows. But there's something about it in the beginning that reminds me a little bit of the Rolling Stones, not all their work. But there's a few songs that I think I could actually say, yeah, I think that it has some relation there. And I love that. I find that he's very diverse with his sound. And I love that stuff. So thanks, Budo. I appreciate it. Okay, kids. Guess what we're doing next? We're doing a Pam Ray piece. Yes, we are. So here we go. This is called An Ode to Whiskey by Pam Ray, as recited by Aaron Panther. I think I got that right. Okay, here we go.
An Ode to Whiskey by Pam Ray. Carissimus meus aqua vitae, held and aged in the motherly womb of wooden barrels, released to slivers of light through which your golden aura seduces the senses. You are the grace of amber cut with precision. Angels and devils dance upon the rim of shimmering glass. Sweet temptation, aged to perfection, balm to my aches. My flesh desires you, my spirit needs you. In you all truth is known. I stare deep into your umber ripples, soft as leather wrapped in Chopin's preludes. Carissimus meus aqua vitae, baptize my throat, be an orgy of ecstasy upon my taste buds. Never will I betray you, never will I drink another. Let those weak and fluffy fools sip their champagne. Each to their own, I say, but you are the only one for me. Carissimus meus aqua vitae, distilled through copper necks of swans poised upon a stage of musical clarity. You are a grand combination of science and art, a campfire toasting marshmallows upon green sticks carved to a fine point. Carissimus meus aqua vitae, I pour you out to embrace your layered complexity. Your strength speaks to my sow, as the moon speaks to the wolf. You foxtrot and frolic across my fantasies of caramel rivers flowing. You are sweet and savory, peppery temptation, come hither fruition. Bearing the stones and the oak, the song of the whooping crane, and the flight of the eagle. Meus amor, my aqua vitae, I have written this ode to you. I have spoken these words that you may know how you nourish my inner flame with spice that saunters within your vanilla veins. You write poetry upon my parted lips. Your silence is raw and gritty elegance. You taste like Pan chasing nymphs through the forest of maple, dripping syrupy offerings to the soil. I swallow you and cut out letters of confessional poetry, turning a blind eye to drunkards of barstool philosophy. I only have eyes for you. My ears bend like wildflowers to your jottings of joyful musings. I imbibe in you. I relish you. You intoxicate the most intimate part my melodious mind. Charissimus meus aqua vitae, your fire is mine to have and to hold in realms of melting ice. Ardiet sicat flamma aeterna inter ubera mea. End poem.
Wow.
A moment of silence.
Yeah, and the whole time I'm reading, I'm saying, boy, this would have been good to go with Whiskey Girl. And I was like, yeah, there it is at the end. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too far off. Excellent piece, but really excellent piece. There's so many parts of it that I could start with. But I'm going to let Robbie go first, because that way it'll give me time to think and type. Go, Robbie.
the word that came to my mind when I heard this poem was elemental, because it's so focused on the one thing, like the one substance here, and it's so descriptive of it. And even though it's like a coffee thing, like when there was one coffee shop that I went to where they had like all the brewing stuff right there, and they had all like the big barrels or whatever with all the beans in them, and you could like really smell, we could really smell it, and it kind of reminded me of that place, but what it would be like if it was like the distillery where they had the whiskey, and it just even like it had the same general experience for me of being in a place where you're in the right in the midst of the production of that one thing, and so I enjoyed that for that. And I enjoyed hearing the more scientific names in here used effectively. And there is towards the end, it talks about bar stool. Oh, yeah. I swallow you and cut out letters of confessional poetry, turning a blind eye to drunkards of bar stool philosophy. So it kind of reminds me, or it kind of makes me think how, like, you know, in this poem, the whiskey is considered to be a more elegant sort of form of intoxication. It's like, you know, it makes you muse and everything, whereas, like, maybe beer or whatever it is that might happen to the other drink, that's just, you know, that's just regular drink. It's kind of like body conversation, body sort of bar stool philosophy. Like, the bar stool philosophy is kind of being compared here is not as elevated. So I thought that was an interesting image there.
Yeah. Great comment, Robbie. I thought this was an excellent piece, Pam. Beautifully expressed. And so many wonderful lines throughout the entire piece, as well as each stanza was so perfectly penned in my mind. You took Whiskey Girl to a whole different level. I loved your use of Latin throughout, and I think that, it was pretty amazing. I've written this ode to you. I've spoken these words that you may know how you nourish my inner flame with spice that saunters within your vanilla veins. You write poetry upon my parted lips. Your silence is raw and gritty elegance. You taste like Pan chasing nymphs through the forest of maple, dripping syrupy offerings to the soil. And I took that all the way down to the end. I thought it was just fabulous. And I loved your last line. I did. I didn't have a clue what it meant, so I had to go and look at your and. Thank God you put it there. Let it burn like an eternal flame. This is beautiful. What's it say? Let it burn like an eternal flame between my breasts. Is that the whole, the one complete?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, it was just beautifully done. If I didn't know better, I think you had a problem. But I know better. I think that's what makes it so awesome, is the fact that you don't have a problem, and you can still pull this together and make it all just wonderful. So, yeah, I really enjoyed this. And Aaron Panther, you did an excellent job with that read. It was great to hear that. So thank you for that.
You really did. Absolutely. And thank you to you and you, Robbie, for the comments. Of course, thank you to Rex for the inspiration. I had obviously written it for the Toby Keith song, but decided it just wasn't quite right for that show, so held it in draft. and then ended up posting it. But yeah, so I was happy with Aaron Panther's read, and he said it took him like 25 takes, which I really appreciate that he kept doing that. And if it wasn't for the fact that you were the one that has to load the audios, I was going to say, so what did you think of my my impression of Aaron Panther? Pretty good, huh?
You're so fun. Oh my gosh. No, but that was a wonderful piece. Really well done. There's another feather in her cap. I put it there. Yeah, good stuff. Okay, let me see now. The next piece we're going to put up, I think I'm going to put Robbie to work. He can't just sit there on his laurels, you know. Got to give him something to do. But he'll be okay. Yeah, she nailed the Aussie accent. Absolutely, Aaron. You got it. Okay. This piece is called Night Song by Jack Snyder. So whenever you're ready, Robbie.
Okay. Time to go to work. Time to earn my pay.
Don't worry. It's a short one. Don't get excited. I didn't overload you. Not for the first one.
I see it now. Here I am being all grandiose. Night Song.
Oh,
jazz plays on the phonograph as I have my cup of coffee and the moon cries to the sorrowful notes. I turn up the sound so heaven too may hear. And that is Night Song by Jack Snyder.
Nice. Yeah, it's a great little brevity. Pam, you want to start us off?
Absolutely. This is a wonderful brevity. I like that he's able to capture so much and paint this beautiful picture with 30 words exactly. And it's really difficult to separate one part from the next, but I really like how this really brings in all the senses. You know, you can hear the jazz playing on the phonograph. You can, you know, smell that cup of coffee and the sour, the notes that you imagine being the howling of the wolves or the music itself. And the, you know, they look out the window and see the moon. I mean, it's all there. It's so beautiful. It's such a moment that is captured, and you feel like it's like at the end of the long day, or the idea of how we need to have that music that connects with how we're feeling in the moment. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought this was a great brevity, and I love how he pulled in the jazz music as he's drinking his coffee. It added a really nice element. And I loved his last two lines. And I turn up the sound so heaven too may hear. He's just enjoying this moment. And I found that to be very well done. So, yeah, so great job, Jack. I really enjoyed this piece very much. And Robbie, how about you?
Well, one thing that made the poem easy for me to relate to it and to read it is that it has three things in it that I really like. Jazz, that's playing jazz, and that is blues. And I love the harmonica there. I've always loved coffee for a long time. People know that I am. And then, here's it. So yeah, when I mentioned the record player, like I have actually my own record player, and I have one of my dad's records, and I have like DJ friendly dance records as well that I listen to. So I'm not at all unfamiliar with records. So just with all of those elements that you made, the poem is really good. And it just has such a pleasant sort of sensory experience. And it's one that I would expect to hear.
Right. Great comment. Great comment. Okay. Yeah, Howard Panther says, gives a great insight on the value of absorbing such a mellow moment. Coffee, jazz, and moonlight. It's so relaxing. Yeah, absolutely. I have to agree with that. It's very true. Very true, very true. Okay. So, okay, Pam. Coming back to you. I think it's your turn. I could be wrong. Just forgive me if I am. Oh, my God. Ah, there you go. You guys are having a field day with jazz. Okay, this piece is called Morning Brew by Spring Sky 39. So whenever you're ready.
My purgatory time lasted forever. I waiting for an eternity to feel better. A morn when the coffee maker felt, a machine that rolls beans herself. How on earth can a hot cup of Joe, be forever again so painfully slow? I need the pick-me-up quicker, no doubt. I may grow a beard as it comes about. And don't you dare give me an easy task, that imposter with its creamy half and half. No, give me mine black and strong that will kickstart me for the day long. I'll be resurrected if the machine works, but until then I'll remain the biggest jerk, waiting with eyes closed shut, unseeing all the goings-on of a morn proceeding and home.
Pam, I think that was written for you.
Yeah, right?
Honest to God, the more you read it, I'm going, uh-huh. But I can't say that you're cranky because I don't talk to you before coffee, so it's all good. It's all good. But, yeah, this was written for the prompt. It was a coffee mug that said purgatory, and it's waiting for that cup, that pot of coffee to brew. So she did a great job with that. I didn't even have to look it up. I just knew from the word. But really a nice job by Spring Sky 39. And, Robbie, you want to go ahead and go first?
Sure. The poem reminded me of kind of the ritual of making coffee, because especially when lockdown had started, I said to myself, there's no way I'm giving up my coffee. I'm going to have to give up going to the coffee shop for coffee, but I'm not going to give up the coffee itself. And I got myself a coffee maker at work, or a coffee grinder, I should say, and one of those, like, individual percolators where you just make one cup. And it really is like a calming ritual to it, just to grind the beans yourself and get that smell and then hear the noise of the grind and all that. So it reminded me of that. And like the whole thing with don't dare give me any decaf. Decaf is starting to get better. It's not what it used to be. But when I saw decaf with it seeming half and half, and I thought, oh my God, you're putting cream in there too? Jeez, it's not even coffee anymore. Decaf with half and half? Oh, sinful. And just the general, the idea of like, well, I'll be, like where it says here, I'll be resurrected if the machine works. And just showing the love of coffee. And it just, the one other thing that reminded me of that was funny was, there's a video I was watching on something called SCPs, Secure Container Protection. So they're all like these different kind of entities in that. And there's this drink dispensing machine, and it would like give you cups of gold or whatever, and it would take it from somewhere else. So they goofed off, and there's a worker named Joe, or a guard, whatever name, a scientist actually named Joe. So someone said, well, order a cup of Joe. And, you know, it's like a common thing, right? Order a cup of Joe.
Yeah.
And so you can see where that goes, where I'm going with that, right? And they're like, that worked. That was a little too literal. So we're not going to do that again. never order a cup of Joe around that coffee, around that that drink.
I hear you. That was a good comment. I really liked this piece very much. I thought it was a great write and a great take on the prompt. The nice rhyme and meter throughout. I really did like it a lot. I picked it up here, though. My purgatory, a time lasted forever. I waited for an eternity to feel better. I mourned when the coffee maker felt a machine that roast beans herself. How on earth can a hot cup of joe be forever again so painfully slow? I need to pick me up quicker, no doubt. I may grow a beard as it comes about. And don't you dare give me any decaf. This is where Pam kicked in. That imposter with the half and half. No, give me mine black and strong. That will kickstart me for the day long. I thought it was just well done. So nice work, and thanks for sharing with us, Spring Sky. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, this was great. I think Spring Sky needs to make sure that all his family and friends get to read this poem so that any of these souls in these four crossies, they only have themselves to blame.
That's right.
And it did have nice rhyme and flow, great imagery, a fun sense of humor. It really cracked me up. I did, as you know, especially relate to that third stanza with the "and don't you dare give me any feedback." But I did really also like the last stanza with the first line, "I'll be resurrected if the machine works, but until then, I'll remain the biggest jerk." Fair warning to everybody. So very cool, great humor, and very well done.
Nice comments, guys. It was a good piece. It was a fun piece. We're back to Tuesday again. Okay, now the next piece I'm putting up is called Societal Collapse on a Sunday in Somerset. And this is by Sea Glass. So let me... To kickstart my day, fresh ground coffee, Italian style, a float of heavy cream on top, and I'm okay at a push. If no milk or cream, dark brown liquid either plunged or machined with brown sugar is perfect to bump start my brain until a wake-up call. Energy company texts, no power for 14 hours. Brain freeze. This is coffee purgatory. And it's Sunday, 7 a.m., and this is rural Somerset. No Starbucks or coffee pull-in. But no worry, I'm fully prepped for societal collapse. For me, no coffee is definitely that. I search tea lights, camp stove, and canister, but no gas, and only two tea lights, one with a dodgy wick, and the kitchen now looks ravaged. 8 a.m., plan B. I got lots of wooden sticks, and it's not raining. I'll build a YouTube-style 12-brick stove. No need for cement, a hitch, only four moss-coated bricks, and they're home to snails, worms, and chuggy pigs. 9 a.m., plan C. Always have a plan C. Old metal bucket, two snail-free bricks, rack from grill pan, fire lighters, barbecue coals, and last year's willow sticks. And whoopee, orange flames, lick, 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 the circa 1999 camping kettle. 10 a.m., Arabica. The wood smoke filled the air. I smile at the birds and bees and ponder the 3 hours it took to brew this jug of aromatic coffee. And I do it all again, you see. I'll not barter with societal collapse until two cups of Italian roast coffee have passed my lips. End poem. Oh, my God. Pam, you want to start us off?
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. This is such a fun story, right? And, you know, camping can be quite challenging at times. And I imagine, especially if you have to go without your usual coffee. I like how she writes with a sense of humor about the misadventures of camping and, you know, feeling as if the world is just going to fall apart. I really like energy company text no power for 14 hours, brain freeze. This is coffee purgatory. And it's Sunday, 7 a.m., and this is rural Somerset. No Starbucks or coffee pulled in, but no worry. I'm fully prepared for societal collapse. For me, no coffee is definitely that. You know, I love that. That is great. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. And Robbie, how about you?
Well, I like the kind of the mix here of mixing in coffee with like a camping trip, and just like that feeling, there's like, oh, society, it feels like society's gonna collapse without the tech and this and that. And I kind of related to that in terms of, I remember for a while, I think it was for a couple of days at least, where I didn't have any power. Thankfully, it was in the summer, so I didn't have to worry about all that. But
right.
For whatever reason, yeah, I didn't have the internet for a couple of days. Oh my God! No, it really didn't bother me that much, because being as old as I am, I'm not like, but I'm old enough to have been around for a long chunk of my life before the internet was around. It was like in my 20s, like 25. Internet search and around, and yeah, so I really didn't have much trouble with COVID. I watched TV, I did some reading, and the bike alone, so I did that too. It reminded me of that part too, where relating to how other people feel about when they don't have those amenities, because especially people that have grown up in that era, they're so used to the amenities being there that when they don't have them, like, oh my God, what do I do now? Go read a book. I'm like, yes, yeah, basically today, go read a book.
Yes, what a novel concept these days. Yeah. But yeah.
You know, attention span for like 5 pages, and they'll be like, oh, reading for an hour? Oh my God, forget that. How many people would read for an hour?
Yeah, right. Perish the thought, right? Oh, my God. I thought this was a great piece. It hit me cracking up. Plan A, plan B, plan C. Always have a plan C. I just started laughing. I'm going, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds like my motto. I thought the piece was awesome. And, you know, at 9 a.m., plan C. Always have a plan C. Old metal bucket, 2 snail-free bricks, rack from the grill pan, fire lighters. Oh, I was laughing. And then, you know, finally at 10 a.m. she got her coffee, you know. But I'll not barter with societal collapse until 2 cups of Italian roast coffee have passed my lips. I just thought it was great. So, wonderful job, Seaglass. It was great to see you enter the contest. It was a great piece. Very, very good. Very good. And Pam, did I skip you? I did, didn't I?
You did not. I was the first one to comment.
Oh, that's wrong. That was so long ago. There were so many of us.
That's right. Since Robin showed up, oh my goodness. Yeah.
It's chaos. It's chaos around here, I'm telling you. We're just kidding, Robbie. We're not complaining. Not complaining at all. Okay. And for my next
so much that people forget that they talk.
What do you say? I didn't get it.
I said I talk so much that people forget that they talk.
Oh, there you go. That's no, not hardly. No, I'm just, you know, getting old, and I forget things. See, I'll tell the truth. Now, for my next magic trip, I have the next piece. It's called Cafe Diem by Robbie's Poetry. And Robbie, I'd like for you to read that for us, please. Woohoo!
Okie dokie. I just got to get to the poem here.
Okay.
So this is a little bit of an older poem, and I wrote it to, what's the song? I think it's Empire Anthem poem by Gorillaz. The Gorillaz, that's spelled G-O-R-I-L-L-A-Z. They're kind of a, I don't know, it's hard to classify with kind of a group here. They're kind of just their own thing. Anyways, here we go. Happy Diem. A hand stretches out, reaches for a cup of coffee, small cup on an island, and refuge in the cool and chill spring air. The steam from that coffee, it rises to the heavens, 2 separate wisps of escaping heat. They dance around each other like binary helicals of DNA, rising up higher and higher. So those wisps, they whip around the streaks of starlight that hit the inner recesses of my iris as I look up in wonderment to that nighttime sky. That cup in my hand is Cafe Diem. It warms my hand as my heart is warmed by a silent couple and I see that I see staring into each other's eyes, a couple sitting across from me on the other side of the cafe. My mind stirs the thoughts of past romances, when my heart started to beat in rapid beats like cafe nervosa, as I saw a sweet siren make her way across the cafe to my table to sit with me and take my troubles and cares away. I sit here seated in a warm spot at the cafe bien, as my mind whirls with memories of all those days that I had waved away, sipping on a cup of cafe bien, sipping in the saunters of my yesteryear that creep into the thoughts of my today. I draw my cup against the horizon, seen framed against the atmospheric sky, whose colors and temperatures are both cooling. My mind traces as I watch the hand that I wave in front of my face. My eyes grow pleasantly drowsy as this hand starts to wave in streets before my eyes. So I rest here now with thoughts unbounded as I contemplate the future with sipping a cup, while sipping a cup of cafe diem, and I watch those double strands whirling through float and flutter into the beauty of the nighttime sky. End poem.
Nice. Nice read. And great poem. Pam,
thank
you. Want
you.
To start
and cafe,
yes.
The cafe diem, the title cafe diem, is it's a pun on carpe diem, which is Latin for seize the day.
Very cool. Very cool. And Pam?
Yeah, I thought that title was particularly clever wordplay with the idea that, you know, to seize the coffee is to seize the day. This has amazing imagery in this throughout. I really liked the scientific imagery that you brought in with the smoke, two separate whiffs of escaping heat. They dance about each other like binary helixes of DNA. Wonderful lines there, and really throughout, it's such an amazing write that, you know, captures the atmosphere of a coffee house and the joy and comfort that one finds within that cup of coffee, and also within observing the world around them, you know, being a people watcher, seeing what everything and everyone is up to around you, and you're kind of become lost in your own thoughts. Another part I really like is I sit here seated in a warm thought of Cafe Diem as my mind whirls with memories of all those days that I had laved away, sipping on a cup of Cafe Diem, sipping in the saunters of my yesteryears that creep into thoughts of my today. You know, there's nothing that can make the mind wander better than just to have that warm comfort right in front of you and be just left alone with your own thoughts. So wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you.
Robbie, this is an excellent write. I know you said you weren't really sure if it fit the prompt. I think it does a fine job with that. I wrote your wonderfully expressed piece, being lost in the moment. Because really that's what it struck me as. You know, you took in your surroundings and then kind of... And I say that because, you know, you start out here, the steam from that coffee, it rises to the heavens, two separate wisps of escaping heat. They dance about each other like binary helixes of DNA, rising up higher and higher till those wisps, they whip around the streaks of starlight that hit the inner recesses of my irises as I look up in wonderment into the nighttime sky. I love that stanza. I know Pam hit on it too, but I really, something about that, because it's very visual. You know, because you can see the steam coming up. You know, we've all been there. Anybody drinks coffee or tea or anything, you know, we can envision that. But then here, I loved, so I rest here now with thoughts unbounded as I contemplate the future while sipping a cup of Cafe Diem. And I watch those double strands of swirling heat float and flutter into the beauty of the nighttime sky. I think you pulled that thought back into this last stanza wonderfully. You didn't lose that. And I thought that was such a great stanza to start with that I was glad to see you brought it around again. I love what you put in between, but there was something about the way you brought it around again at the end. I really enjoyed that. So nicely done. Great job. And thanks for sharing.
Thanks. Thanks. I realized a while back that I like the, as much as I like the coffee, I like the experience of a coffee house. I always have.
Yeah.
There's this thing about that that's relaxing for me. And so when I go to the coffee house, I go there for the coffee, but I go there as much for the people that I meet there. Like, that's where I met my harmonica teacher, actually.
There you go.
That recently gave me a lesson. Yeah, there you go. I just enjoy the overall atmosphere of the coffee house itself, and then I just remembering when one time I met somebody there who happened to like poetry. I think I mentioned this once before, and she's starting to read a poem, and then it's at that magical moment because it's at Starbucks, and she starts to lean in more and more, and then her voice becomes more impassioned, and like she could tell I was getting into the poetry, and that I was enjoying her like reading it more and more passionately, and it was kind of like a feedback loop, and I was just like, and at the end, I was like, my stars and girls. Oh no, I said, oh, be still my beating heart. We're just both laughing, and you can't beat a moment like that, right?
Absolutely.
Poetry and coffee all in one
flow. Absolutely. Oh, coffee is a good subject matter. We've actually done a coffee show before, and it went over really well, as far as I remember. So that's what made me think, well, we could do it again, you know. Whether we do pre-writes or not, it didn't matter, you know, because it's just a matter of the subject, you know. Everybody can kind of get into it to an extent. Okay, now, Pam, I'm going to ask you to read Jody Melton's piece. And that is called Coffee Flavored Coffee by Jody Melton. So whenever you're ready.
All right. In a world where coffee's king, a tale unfolds quite puzzling. Starbucks reigns with choices vast, yet one request confuses fast. 87,000 ways a labyrinth of brew is seemingly absurd. Yet when I say quite simply that a coffee black will do, suddenly a hush ensues and crickets can be heard. A coffee-flavored coffee, please, I say with hopeful eyes, but baristas gaze back perplexed as if I've asked for skies. The options sprawl like galaxies and Milky Ways entwined, but all I seek is a simplest cup, a request that blows their mind. There are caramel macchiatos, frappuccinos laced with cream, pumpkin spices, mocha ices, a caffeine lover's dream, vanilla lattes, chai delights, and peppermint concoctions. But where's the classic simple brew lost in the options? I stand amidst this coffee realm where syrups reign supreme and whisper once again my wish. It feels almost like a dream. A coffee-flavored coffee, please, but the barista still bemused, as if this simple order has the coffee tree confused. Do you want oat milk, almond joy, or perhaps a dash of spice? A double shot, a cold foam top, our seasonal device? But no, I see this coffee tree as plain can be, a relic of a bygone age in the sea of varieties. So here I stand, a coffee outcast in a world so wide and vast, where 87,000 choices whirl in a caffeinated blast. Yet all I seek is a humble cup, a brew that's true and fine, in Starbucks' world of endless choice, a coffee-flavored coffee will do just fine. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Great read. And Robbie, do you want to kick us off?
I laughed when I saw this because it reminded me of something I was thinking earlier, and I just put in the chat, like, I want to know if the Dennis Leary routine inspired this, because early on I was thinking of when he had this whole routine about coffee, and says, cappuccino, frappuccino, what the F? And he goes, coffee, I want to buy coffee-flavored coffee.
Yeah,
and
right.
It just so reminded me of that. And I'm intensely curious whether that was a little nugget of inspiration. And I just threw, I was just thinking a few days ago that I should try more varieties of coffee because I tend to stick to one or two. But I find that I do that because a lot of them do get too kind of complicated and too sweet. Like if the ones that have become too sweet don't really taste like coffee anymore. But sometimes you find something there that works. Like when I was in the Thai restaurant today, they had like this coffee. It's like really strong, but it has a unique sort of a sweet element to it. I think they use another kind of sugar that's kind of different. But I definitely, as someone who is a coffee goer, and seeing, I remember especially when Starbucks used to be around the one beside the one bookstore there, like they would have like this pepper, like this red pepper lampshade, and you would go there and you'd hear like these orders, and it's like the barista's voice kind of sounded like the stereotype of what you imagine in a place like that. And it would be like 20 syllables long. And then sometimes you'd have an order of like a 10 syllable dessert on top of it. It's like, oh my God, this is getting ridiculous.
Absolutely. True. Yeah, I thought this was great. I thought it was a wonderful job by Jody, and I enjoyed the piece. As always, his rhyme and meter were great all the way through. And I had to pick it up here. I stand amidst this coffee realm where syrups reign supreme. To whisper once again my wish, it feels almost like a dream. A coffee-flavored coffee, please, but the barista still bemused, as if this simple order has their coffee creed confused. Do you want oat milk, almond oil, or perhaps a dash of spice? A double shot, a cold foam top, or seasonal device? But no, I plead, just coffee, please, as plain can be, a relic of the bygone age in the sea of variety. So here I stand, a coffee outcast in a world so wide and vast, where 87,000 choices whirl in a caffeinated blast. Yet all I seek is a humble cup, a brew that's true and fine, in Starbucks' world of endless choice. A coffee-flavored coffee will do just fine. I just thought it was, I thought it was a great take on the coffee prompt. And it's so true, because you go, where are you going to get coffee? You get 500, even if you go to Wawa or 7-Eleven or whatever you have in your area, and you go in to buy a cup of coffee, you know, you got all these choices, all these different creamers, all these different ideas. They got the squirts for the syrups. It's like, no. I just want coffee with a little flavor creamer, and I'm a happy girl. I'm out of here. I don't want anything fancy. I don't want anything full of whipped cream on top. Or, I don't know. And I just don't understand iced coffee. I don't get it. You know, coffee's supposed to be hot in my world. But that's okay, because that's me, and I know that. But great job, Jody, and I really like your humor in this. Great job, and thank you very much. And Pam,
I thought of another response.
Go ahead.
I quickly thought of another response. If you wanted to be like, if you wanted to be kind of smart ass or whatever, like the only thing I want with my coffee is you.
Yeah, there you go.
If the timing is wrong, if it's the wrong person, you might get in trouble.
Yes.
Anyway,
you get an iced coffee dumped over your head.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth? This world is not what it used to be. People have no sense of humor anymore. Not like in the old days. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this is great. A wonderful rhyming poem, a great sense of humor. I do occasionally like to mix things up, and I do like iced coffee along with hot, but I will say that it either has to be iced or it has to be hot. I do not like lukewarm or room temperature coffee at all. It's pretty much
dangerous.
Yep, exactly. But, you know, to me, coffee-flavored coffee truly is the best. A wonderful humor, clever line, an excellent write on the overwhelming amount of unnecessary choices at an overpriced coffee shop. And, you know, straight lines all the way through. But I do a special, like, if you want oat milk, almond joy, perhaps a dash of spice, a double shot of cocoa on top, our seasonal device. But no, I see just coffee, tea, the same as seems to be a relic of a bygone day in the sea of variety.
Right.
Wonderful lines and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Okay, guys. And Robbie says, I like iced coffee, depending on how the coffee was made in the first place. I don't get the concept. My daughter drinks iced coffee all the time, and I'm going, ugh. I don't like my coffee lukewarm, room temperature, or ice. I want my coffee hot. But,
you know. I will say one of the great benefits of iced coffee is I find anyways, as a person who's perpetually tired, is that I can drink iced coffee faster and I can wake up quicker.
Oh, hang on a second. Okay, hang on a second. I have to respond to something. Say something, Pam, anything. I'm going to be a minute.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, great poetry tonight. Very cool. And I always love open poetry night because we get such a variety. And it's been great to have Robbie call in and to have Arendt and Quicken and, you know, hanging out on the board. It's just been a really fun night. And great poetry.
Okay, sorry. I really had to address that for a minute. I have one more poem I'm going to try. Yeah, we got time. We got 9 minutes. So we're good. Yes, yes, yes. This last piece I'm going to play for tonight is called Beauty in the Bleak by Quicken. And here we go. And I have an audio, which is helpful.
Beauty in the Bleak by Quicken. Can you feel it? Blood splatters as saturated paint that flicks across my face, as the voices both jeering and venerating pulse in the heated air. Their fervor is unmistakably palpable, as I, with raw beauty, strip the skin from bone, exposing a spread so appetizing. Like Picasso on his canvas, each stroke I carve shapes my masterpiece, crafting a spectacle of savagery and beauty. Then the air thickens. It's heavy, almost wet, with a mix of fear and awe. My hands seem to move as if driven by their own will, steered by some invisible energy, molding flesh into shapes that are both horrifying and captivating. The moon, it watches silently, its silver light drenching my canvas in a dreamy glow, making the crimson seem almost gentle. I stand amidst this chaos, creator of the horror, finding beauty in the grotesque. Each movement, each slice, is like a whisper emerging from the deepest corners of the heart, a unique dance to the rhythm of my own heartbeat that I alone can guide. And the world watches, its breath caught in its throat, as I melt nightmares into reality. With each stroke, a piece of me bleeds into the creation, a sacrifice to the muse of madness, sing songs of the damned. In this nexus of pain and splendor, I find the twisted truth, a reflection of the world never seen, etched into the canvas of the night with the care of a poet and the fervor of a god lost in his own creation. As the crescendo of my grotesque symphony reaches its zenith, the air shudders, heavy with the scent of iron and fear. My hands, now instruments of a dark orchestra, conduct the final note, a symphony of screams mingling with the silence of the departed. The ground beneath me is a testament to my night's work, a canvas soaked in the essence of life and death interlaced. In this moment of completion, the moon casts its judgmental gaze, bathing me in a ghostly light, as if to cleanse this news of my soul with its cold scrutiny. Yet, I stand defiant, an artist whose work transcends morality. This work of mine, a sinister quilt woven from flesh and blood. The world, which was once eager to gaze upon my creation, now turns away, unable to face the reflection of what is mirrored in my art. And in the deafening silence that follows, only the whisper of the night accompanied me. A chilling affirmation that in the pursuit of such beauty, I have had to dance with madness, and as it envelops me, I am left disturbed, left craving for more.
What a fabulous piece. And Pam, I'm going to let you start us off on this one.
Well, this was just absolutely brilliant. Amazing imagery and metaphors. An excellent dark rite that spoke to me on the chaos created in the realm of power out of control. I liked how this speaks on a story of creation. A mythological story where the artist is compared to a god that is creating a new world and drunk on their own sense of power. And, you know, all the way through, amazing lines. But I especially like, as the crescendo of my grotesque symphony reaches its zenith, the air shudders heavy with the scent of iron and fear. My hands, now instruments of a dark orchestra, conduct the final note, a symphony of screams mingling with the silence of the departed. Amazing lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Robbie, how about you?
Well, I like that this is a more nuanced and thought-out relationship to the dark, because I find that a lot of pieces that speak on the dark and the poet, it kind of focuses on how the poet likes to, or the artist likes to revel in the dark, and finds beauty in it. And in this one, it's more complicated than that, and it's more of a sort of realistic relationship where it's kind of a duality. There's like it says, "I'm left disturbed but craving for more." And I find that there's, in the book, is like people get into kind of darkness almost morosely. It's like I'm not too sure how to phrase it right now, but with this, like I say, it's more dimension to it. And with the overall recording and the whole formatting, everything, there's so much care put into this. And it makes me want to look at more quickened quotes. And last of all, what this reminded me a little bit was one story I saw recently where one woman, she's had enough of her horrible husband, and finally she kills him, but she doesn't know what to do with the body, and she starts putting a paint on it. She doesn't know that one of the paints is magical, and it kind of gives him this surreal, like, afterlife. Like, he's not alive, really, but he's animated, and one of the things the husband always said was, like, "I don't look at me that way. I hate it when you look at me that way." And now, because of the magical paint and because of that one thing that's stuck in his mind, it's, like, stuck in after death, and he, even though it's, like, this piece of art that she's created, but every time now somebody doesn't look at this work of art, it just zooms in and it basically breaks their neck, right? So it's being turned into this this kind of abomination. But it's like, it kind of reminds me of that in that story, how like this extreme relationship to art, and you know, both the beauty and the darkness that can form from it, especially when whatever the artist happens to, they just totally get into the
process of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And Quicken, I left you a written comment. Unfortunately, we're already off the air, so I can't say anything to you. But that's all right. I kind of knew we were going to run tight on that. But a great share as it was. So thank you, Robbie, so much for calling in tonight. Thank you, Pam, for co-hosting with me. And, yeah, never a dull moment on Friday night. We never know. I have a few carryovers for next Friday, and I'll be posting them up on that board. So anyone that wants to take a peek, that's where you'll find them. Anyone who didn't hear your piece, that's where you'll find it, because everything else was read. So y'all take care. Robbie, have a great weekend, and hope to see you around soon. And stay out of trouble. You know, got to say that. That's the mother in me saying, you stay out of trouble now. Yeah, you know, that's the way it is. Anyway, take care, and thanks again for calling in. Appreciate it very much. It's good to have you join us.
My pleasure.